Can you hear me?
Yep.
Oh, good. That's great. Just pop it in there. Oh, okay. I've got the control. Aprender is Spanish to learn. I, with the blessing of technology, I got to hear Chris Wanstall speaking in Peru last week or the week before, and Anna Burgess was translating, and she was translating from, you know, Matthew 11, verse 28, "Come to me, all you are weary and carrying heavy loads. I'll give you rest. Take my yoke and put it on you." Is that ringing too much? What if I put it up here? Hello. The thing that struck me was Jesus said, "Learn from me, because I'm gentle and humble in spirit. And you will find rest." So aprender is to learn. And I just love the way it sounds. It sounds like apprentice. And I'm going to talk about being an apprentice. And that is, of course, experience-based learning. I think when you apprentice yourself to someone, you're really quite blessed. You're pretty lucky, because they've got all that knowledge and you get to follow them like a little shadow. In the trade world, I think it's very much you shadow someone. You're at elbow, or you're even standing on their shoulders, you know, really peering. In the workplace, it's called workplace mentoring, and it's quite cool. It's talked about a lot. A lot of people who are, you know, Gen Yers want to shadow a manager because they want to get into management. That sort of thing. When we apprentice ourselves to more mature Christians, we're really blessed in that we get to see how they tackle life, you know, that we grow at a greater rate, and that's what I'm talking about today. So it's interesting when people are generous and they do invest into our lives, how much that actually changes us for the better. Yes, there are many theories of learning. Thank you, Masters of Teaching at Monash University, lecturers. We're not going to go there. It's a bit academic. But for those who are teachers, you can see Vygotsky's mentioned, there's constructivism and so on. There's benefit, of course, but we're going to talk about apprenticeship learning. So example number one is how I learned to play the guitar. These are ukuleles, I know, but that's okay. Cute picture. When I was year 10 and year 11, I'd become a good pianist and I was in music class. I was a bit bored. And I saw that the boys in the corridor and the girls were playing guitar. So that inspired me to then go and learn The Fox Went Out on a chilly night at home, come and bring it to the next lecture or next corridor session. And I asked them, I sort of came to them and went, you know, this does not sound good. Can you improve this for me? Can you tweak it? What am I doing wrong? And they said, this is where you put your finger and that's a cleaner sound. And the more I practiced, the more I humbled myself under them and went, you know, it's really not sounding good when I get the rhythm. It's not right. Well, try this. It got better and better, obviously. So it's just, you know, you can see where this is going. I wasn't that good. I got better, came under them, and I aprended. I learned. And this is a little picture of Celia down the bottom. Can you see yourself, Celia? You're holding your Mainly Music t-shirt, and that little white thing that's dangling from the collar, that's the verse that says this, Ephesians 5, verses 1 and 2. Watch what God does, then you do it, like children who learn proper behaviour from their parents. Mostly what God does is love you. Keep company with him and learn a life of love. Observe how Christ loved us. His love was not cautious but extravagant. He didn't love in order to get something from us, but to give everything of himself to us. Love like that. And that's our ministry motivation in general in life, I think. And it came with a t-shirt as we launched this Mainly Music program for our church. We bear that in mind. It says it all, you know, keep company with him. Live a life of love. It talks about keeping on learning. You haven't arrived. We keep on learning, just like children learn from their parents. We know that God loves us extravagantly, and so therefore we do as he's done. So in other words, be Jesus with skin on in our community. Quite like that. So, for me, back in the late 80s, for me, discipleship was small group discipleship. It was dinner with my neighbours who were more spiritually mature than I was. It was some one-on-one discipleship. That little tape there is a mixtape of Christian music that I got given. I think I learnt Christianity by Keith Green. That's okay. Whatever works. I spent time with my leaders at youth groups and my leaders at uni Christian groups. In fact, Helena was one of the girls that spent time every week one-on-one with me over the years, and I honestly, by reading the Bible with her, some of my misbeliefs and misunderstandings were righted just through scripture, just through reading this with someone who was more mature than me. That girl, Helena, was so kind to me, and she kept in touch over the years. And, you know, it's that praying as you go along, it's reading scripture as you go and growing. That's inspiring. So how does it work? What do you reckon? How does discipleship work?
Catchy.
Thanks, Celia. Yeah. Catchy because once you've got alongside someone and you've seen them blossom, so exciting. You think, this is why I'm alive. This is why I'm a Christian. I want to see this more. Anyone else? How does discipleship work? We'll unpack it. I think that there are some barriers, to be honest. I think, you know, I'd like to suggest a lot of us are busy. You know, and so a formal mentoring program sounds a bit daunting. So I like to suggest, think of it as mentoring moments, a bit like discipleship moments. Just a little moment here and there might be a way to think of it. It's an intentional effort that you make with someone. It's an offer to pray together. Hey, you want to pray over that? An offer to read a bit of scripture together. Over a coffee, a quick text with a question. A phone call. I think it's a good place to start. I think some of the skills for this process are illustrated by that lovely ear on the screen. So this is a quote which talks about people healing once they are heard. People start to heal once they are heard. And it talks about active listening. I think when we listen, it really is an incredible blessing to someone to really listen. And also, just having the right words at the right time, I think that's a good skill. And as we tap into Jesus, he will give us the right words at the right time. The sharing stories. Yes, I think that can sometimes be a barrier because we haven't sometimes processed some of our stories. But the more we process some of the stories, the bad things that have happened, the good kairoses, the bad ones, we can share them. And you know, we just need to be a bit brave. I think we're a bit shy sometimes. Do you reckon? I think we're a bit shy. Oh, here we have the parent-child relationship. I think they're really good. When Jesus said, you know, go out into the world and make disciples, this was really well understood by all the Jewish people because in Israel they would disciple themselves to a rabbi and they would shadow the rabbi and learn from the rabbi. But once the gospel went out into the rest of the world, that didn't quite make sense. So Paul started talking about spiritual growth being important, just like a mother-daughter relationship or a father, you know, child relationship. I just really love it because I can really relate to it. I hope you can too. It can be very pleasant. It can be hard, but it can be pleasant too. I actually really like learning things from my mum and dad. I know they love me. I know they're more skilled than me. They've got more skills to offer. I'm actually capable in the kitchen now because I learned from my mum and dad. Yesterday I planted a bit more of my garden. I hacked into our grass and planted more lettuce and flowers. And Andre looked through the window and said, oh, so that's how you do it. It's seeing it in practice. My 12-year-old really wants to learn how to cook, so So, and he really loves making food. Seafood is his favourite. He watches Food Network, and his favourite show is Good Eats. I'm an okay cook. I'm a good cook. I'm a wog. I'm a good cook. I was my mama's sous chef. And Anton really wants to be my sous chef now. He actually imitates me. So he chops with vigour, and he makes sure that we've got the garlic. He reminds me if we don't. So, you know, you can see where this is going. To become competent, you actually go on a journey of discovery. He's not passive. He's not just standing there taking notes. He's in there crushing garlic with the back of a knife. He's asking questions. He's making mistakes. He's teachable. He comes under me. It's that at-shoulder learning, that tradie stuff. He's just really confident to ask. And I think it's a brilliant metaphor for spiritual growth, because that sounds so amoebous. What is spiritual growth? Well, it's that. It's learning and growing. And here is the piece de resistance, the verse of why I am here today, 1 Corinthians 4, 14 to 17. I'm writing this not to shame you, but to warn you as my dear children. Even if you had 10,000 guardians in Christ, you do not have many fathers. For in Christ Jesus, I became your father through the gospel. Therefore, I urge you to imitate me. For this reason, I've sent you Timothy, my son, whom I love, who's faithful in the Lord. He'll remind you of my way of life in Christ Jesus, which agrees with what I teach everywhere in every church. So Paul discipled Timothy like a dad. He, you know, Timothy followed him, learned from him, ate with him, lived his way of life as a Christ follower. And like I said before, when the gospel reached out from Samaria, Judea, to the ends of the earth, that model of saying, you'll be my disciple, that language changes a bit. And for the rest of the New Testament, you don't see the word disciple mentioned, which originally shocked me, because that was Jesus' great commission, go out into the world and make disciples. But it's okay, relax, because it doesn't matter. We've got the father, son, or the parent, child model that we can glean from as well. I have an Orthodox Jewish friend, and she does talk about her rabbi, who she absolutely adores, but I can't relate to that. It's a different way of thinking. So it's more accessible. You know, your father loves you, and your father hopes you to be like him. So the word guardians there, you might wonder, what does that mean? I will tell you in Greek, because I happen to have a Greco-Roman relationship with my husband. He is Greco-Roman. And in Greco-Roman households, way back in Corinth in Greece, the oikos, which is the extended household, might be about 20 people, including servants and extended uncles and aunties and grandmas, the household would hire a guardian or a pedagogue, right? Someone who would teach the small child, and they would be hired, they'd be paid to teach the child reading, writing, logic, math, right? And then there's this switch that happens when they're about 12, and they get delivered back to their parents. If they're a boy, they go to the dad. If they're a girl, they go to the mama. And the role is not just about cooking, it's about running the whole household. That's the bills, the business, everything. It's quite a big deal. And then they learn at shoulder. They do the tradie stuff. They learn what the mum and dad impart into their lives. So it's like a rite of passage. So if you think about the question, so what do you want to do when you grow up? That wasn't asked ever. Not back then. It was, oh, Paul, 12-year-old Paul, your dad's a tent maker. I guess you're going to be a tent maker. That's how the conversation went. It's that imparting of all that wisdom. And it's not just dry. It's like, come on. You need to do better, or I love you, come on, this is how it's done. It's special coaching. It's imitation. So let's think about how that looks like for us in 2017 as a mother or father of the faith. So there's the discipler. We're talking now and thinking about us all being disciplers of someone else. We can all be mothers and fathers of the faith, right, Ray? Talked to you before about that. But there are some little barriers we want to break down. I think, you know, I'm not perfect. Who wants to learn from me? That's my number one barrier I think of. But hey, wait a minute. That works. If I process my weaknesses and my muck-ups around a Kairos circle and God goes, come on, learn from me, I will show you how. I can then share that imperfection in a discipleship relationship. That works. So people can learn from my struggles and hiccups? Absolutely. That, you know, making myself available even though I'm busy. That blessed to be a blessing saying, this is Christianity by slogans, Con. Blessed to be a blessing. But it's true, you know, just that lightweight stuff, the coffee with someone, the making a meal for someone and chatting and taking 5 minutes to talk about a story that might have, you know, inspired and liberated them. You might, just by being a little bit brave, you might be shocked at how much that inspires people. So, now being the disciples, what does that look like in 2017? I guess that willingness to learn. I remember Anton in the kitchen being a bit humble and going, I don't know what you're doing, teach me. So it's that happy to learn over time and be discipled and to learn to be more like Jesus. You know, you, for example, you are so quick at my brother. Martin, you're so quick at forgiving. How do you do that? I bear a grudge all the time. And then he tells me, you know, it's because I have prayed for that person and I've got this love for that person. So there's someone teaching me an aspect of the spiritual life and I've grown through that. It's just one conversation. It inspires me to keep being humble and asking. So as we said before, we do need Jesus' skin on. We need living examples. Jesus is amazing. I love him so much. But I get so inspired by David Wanstall, Chris Wanstall, Celia, Claire, all these people who are living their life out. And I watch them and I observe and I go, well, I could tweak my life a little and or get alongside them and ask them, how did you do that? It's amazing. So if you think about that last point, if you want to learn Spanish, it's really best to be immersed in Spain. Really, I mean, if you could go and live there for a year or two, that would be quite nice. And your Spanish would come... How is your Spanish, Celia? Improving. Ooh, very little, but growing. Did it get better as you were in Peru? Yeah. It's, you know, that word aprende means to learn. If we want to aprende and comprende, which means to understand, it might take a year or two in that language. So if we think about that, can we maybe think of a person that does inspire us and intentionally spend a year or two with these little discipleship moments learning to get alongside them, like be their apprentice? I put that out to you. Pray with them. My friend Helena looked me up. Back in the uni days, she looked me up this year. Every Wednesday I get a text from Helena, how can I pray for you? And every Wednesday, it comes at such a good time so I can share her my prayer request. And one day, I remember it was answered within 5 minutes of her praying. So I responded to her and she said, quick, go out and bless someone. And so then I passed it on, you know. So, and we have a coffee once every 2 months. This is just one example of what discipleship looks like. There's a sneak peek. So basically, it's a text for those listening. Thinking of you, hope you're well, body and soul and mind. How can I pray for you today? So a father or a mother, mentor, we can do it. We can do this. Do it like I do it. You know, you get a person that gives lots of access to their life. That's where missional meals are so great. You know, at home, when I'm at home, their kids see me praying. They see me reading scripture. They see that I'm being challenged or encouraged by scripture. They see me loving people in my life. I'm not tooting my trumpet, honestly. I'm not a perfect person. But I'm saying, kids see everything. And that's what I'm suggesting, that we are their coach, we are their mentor, we're their example. And by giving them lots of access to my life, you know, they know what it is to love God and how to live out that love. So back to that special verse we had before. I think the Apostle Paul is saying this, you know, to Timothy, I just can't be there. I can't be everywhere. But I'm sending Timothy to you. I've spent loads of time investing into him. And he's really strong in living out the gospel of Jesus. And when you see him, you'll see me. Imitate me as I imitate Christ. So, yeah, we imitate people to become like Jesus, not to become like them necessarily, but we also innovate what they do. We don't copy them like a copycat. We're a bit wise about that. So, again, from 1 Corinthians 4, 14 to 17, we learn that the way we can grow to be more like Jesus is to imitate those who've experienced a greater depth of relationship with him. In other words, they're a bit more ahead of us, I guess, and willing to spend time with us, that generosity, and helping us to apply this new at-shoulder learning in our lives. And like I said before, and then we innovate, we change it up a bit as we follow Jesus, because he's going to give us different direction to them. The Holy Spirit leads us. Ashu shared that. He said the Holy Spirit led them, and that is exactly right. So in recent years for me, just as a summary, this is really what a week might look like or a month might look like for me. Someone gives me a prayer request. How can I pray for you today? I'm really blessed to have people like that in my life that mentor me or disciple me, and I disciple them. I think earlier last year, I had a few teenagers who I was discipling too, and we still have access to each other's lives. They still messenger me. Helena still messengers me. And my mainly music coach texts me, how can I help you? It's a phone call, it's an email. It's lightweight, it's not heavy. It's not like a formal sit-down 1 hour. It can be. And so in doing that, I guess it's just such a privilege because I'm growing, they're growing, we're all growing. And we're becoming stronger in living out the faith and becoming more like Jesus. So you might know Coldplay's song, I Want Someone I Can Turn To. I don't want a superhero, I don't want a fairy tale bliss, I don't want some perfect guru. I just want someone I can turn to. And I just really love this song. Because it comes along the lines of, at this point, I thought, we're not perfect. There are too many barriers of us wanting to then take up that opportunity to disciple someone. But that someone doesn't necessarily want the superhero. They've already got Jesus in their life. They just want someone they can turn to in their troubled times. Can you pray for me? What should we do in this situation? It's that prayerfulness together. And I think this sums it up nicely too. Isaac Newton says, if I have seen further than others, it's by standing upon the shoulders of giants. Basically learning those who are spiritually more mature gives us a boost. A boost. Let's be willing to give others the chance to sit on our shoulders. I hope God's prompting you. And in that way, I guess I'd like to pause at this point and just, if we could close our eyes and pray, just very quietly. I'm not going to say anything, but if, dear Lord, if you would like to prompt people now as to whether they could be challenged to step up and be someone who disciples, would you, dear Lord, put someone in their mind as to who they can reach out to and bless? Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to think about this a little deeper, about this deep need that we have to apprentice ourselves to someone else who's a bit further along in the faith. Help us to be a little bit brave and help us to reach out and help us to be teachable so we keep on learning to be more like you, Jesus. Thank you for this opportunity to share. And I thank you for the rest of the Sunday ahead of us. Bless the day with our families and friends, and even if we're alone, bless us by coming into our presence, Lord Jesus. In your name we pray, Amen. Thanks. That's all.